Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This episode is sponsored by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast to get 50% off your first order. Go to NatureBox.com and use promo code TMOS. That's NatureBox.com, promo code TMOS.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar.
Chess.
One of the most important things we do is we keep our finger on the pulse of the public while keeping our ear to the ground.
Well said.
Thank you. And now we go to a new contact. This is a guy I called NBC News in New York yesterday. And this is my new favorite reporter at NBC, and we actually have him live via satellite. He was covering the reflotation of the Costa Concordia. Say hello to great reporter, great guy, Claudio Lavagna.
Hi. Claudio.
How's that?
How are you?
It's Claudio, right?
Claudio Lavagna.
Claudio.
Claudio. Yes.
Claudio.
Claudio Lavagna.
And you are there for the raising of the Costa
Concordia. Costa Concordia, the big ship.
Right.
The
big sheep?
Big, big ship that
no, raised.
No, not sheep.
Oh.
Funny. not a big sheep, it's a sheep.
Now,
it's not the sheep that get you wool.
Shit.
It's the sheep that people are party on. You know,
maybe it's easier just
it's
call it a boat.
Cruise ship.
Call it a boat.
No, it is not a boat.
Why not?
A boat has oars that you row. Oars. The boat has oars that you row. The ship is a grand, big. A big ship. It's a cruise ship.
Oh,
you know,
and it has all the accoutrements, like a ballroom.
It's a ballroom, a nightclub, bars,
casino,
buffet. Food, women, fun time. But the Costa Concordia,
yes.
She hit the rock and they start to roll over.
Yeah, leaning horribly.
Capsize. Yes. So now they try to lift. The Costa Concordia off the rock.
Yeah,
and
they raise it.
With their balloons. They take a giant inflatable balloon and lift the Costa Concordia from the rock onto the sea and so forth and so on.
Mm. Well, you know what? That is fascinating. How's it going?
Thank you.
How's it going?
What?
How is the lifting going?
Oh, it's very well.
Really?
Yes, they take the balloon and they put compressed air into the balloon. Then the compressed air lift the boat. The ship.
Ship. You cloudy
air holes. The ship lift the ship off the rock.
Right, and it's going well.
It's going well.
Now, I'm glad that you're covering this for NBC News. This is the first time I've seen you. NBC,
Matte Lauer, Savannah Guthrie, Air Rocker, and Natalie Morales.
Yeah, so you like Natalie Morales?
Oh, very much so. Yes,
she's
married?
Yes.
Yes, she's
pregnant.
Beautiful. She's,
no?
She's
that's
pregnant?
Savannah. That's Savannah.
Sorry.
No, I don't like Savannah. Big teeth.
How
about
Lester?
Too big a teeth.
What about Lester Holt?
He doesn't do the weekday.
No, weekend
he's
guy.
A weekend guy, right?
Yeah.
Lester Holt. He's okay. You know, he's not my cup of tea.
How long you been with NBC?
1 week.
1 week is all?
1 week. Claudio Favala.
Claudio
Favala?
No, Lavagna.
Claudio.
Lavagna.
How many lire?
Favela is in Brazil.
That's right.
I'm Claudio Lavagna. Yes, Oscar.
How many lire did it take to raise that Costa Concordia?
Oh, lira on top of lira. Stacks of wet money. tons of stacks of wet money. And they get the wet money and put it in the hands of the balloon blowers.
Now, it's excellent that you've been hired a week ago by NBC. But
yes, 1 week. Obviously,
they didn't just hire you to do boat stories.
No, I have many, many area of expertise.
Would you expound on that?
I know cruise ships.
Very good. Well, obviously.
I work on a cruise ship.
You worked on a cruise ship?
Oh, yeah. I was orderly.
What did you do?
Was it a crazy
ship? I cleaned people's rooms.
Toilets?
Well, if it was necessary.
Don't orderlies usually work at mental hospitals or hospitals?
I was on the ship. Maybe not orderly. I was a deckhand.
A deckhand. That makes sense.
I was a porter in the rooms.
Porter potty?
No, I was working where I wore a white coat. Oh. And the white pants, and I go to room and I clean up. And when people get sick, and we have a rotoviriso.
A what?
Rotoviriso.
Oh, like a roto-rooter.
Oh, no, rotavirus.
Oh, the virus.
Oh, he locked the door, shut everybody in, and I clean toilets with big rubber gloves.
Did you ever?
Night and day, day and night.
Did you ever serve as an escort?
No, not official capacity.
Oh, but unofficially?
Well, the elderly women, they want to love and they want to make love. So I would go along with their needs.
How did you get into broadcasting then?
I was a pretty man, and I am a pretty man. And somebody said at the Italiano station, said, Claudio Lavagna, you pretty in the face. You go on TV. And I go on TV and I speak English because I got educated when I was a boy. And now I'm do the report.
Did you pick up any English when you were escorting the elderly
and
women?
Yes, on the cruise ship.
Yeah, what did you learn from them?
Small words. One, how you say, one syllable.
One syllable.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right.
One. I under kiss.
Yes.
Touch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lick.
Oh, Claudio. Oh,
no. Yeah, don't say.
Yeah. Lick.
Yeah, yes, mostly you worked for tips.
I also brought dinner to the captain on a cruise ship when I worked there, and I learned one other English word because I would put the food down in front of the captain, and I learned the other word that always go with the captain.
What word is that?
That would be fart.
Oh.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Throw this away. And bring me a hamburger patty, cottage cheese fresh, a scoop of sherbet, and iced tea in a wine glass. You're not writing it down?
I'll remember, Mrs. Brody.
You didn't yesterday. Who are you, Jeffrey?
He's a card player, not a member.
I see.
And it gives me sweet ginger brown. Oh, what a pigeon.
Your father just won another big hand, Joycey. He looks happy.
What is that?
Sam Sadakis, the world's leading manufacturer of doorknobs. Every hour, he turns his chair towards the sun. That's the El Flamingo's human sundial.
Hey, boys, this is our friend Jeffrey Willis from Brooklyn.
These are the two strongest lifeguards in Long Island, Kurt and Dirk. They're brothers.
Welcome to the El Flamingo, Jeffrey. Don't in the pool, Jeffrey.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios and heard worldwide. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are powered by Encore Insurance Services. With over 24 million downloads, we are heard daily at MikeO'MaraShow.com and exclusively over the air on the mighty 1630 KCJJ in the heart of the heartland. Go Hawks. Did they send you any names?
They sent me their entire database. I have Mike, if the show lasts as long as this list of names, we're going to be very rich.
That's
and I
awesome.
Want to say hello to Lone Tree, Iowa's very own Tiffany Yoder.
Woo! Tiffany Yoder.
Our KCJJ listener of the day. And Tiffany, if it matters to you, you're also the first name on the KCJJ data list.
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
So you must be very important.
The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily podcast and radio show with the greatest listeners on the planet.
In the planet.
Why do I always say in the planet?
Because from the womb to the tomb, Mike, we even cater to the dead.
Why?
Why?
Because they get it. Our show today brought to you by Sleep Number Beds. For those of you keeping score, write it down. I'm an 80. Carr's an 85. Those are our sleep number settings. My Sleep Number Bed is the best. I want the world to know about it. That's why I tell you about it all the time. And now Sleep Number has introduced the smartest bed in the world. They use something called Sleep IQ technology. It's been telling you this for a while, and
For Rob and for myself, we understand that sleep quality is significant because it affects your health dramatically, and sensors work with the dual air technology inside your Sleep Number bed to track and optimize how you are sleeping. Sleep IQ allows you to make changes like adjusting your Sleep Number setting or your daily routine so you can get the best possible sleep. Sleep helps your health. Sleep Number beds help your health as well. So we urge you to check it out, Sleep IQ technology. It couldn't be easier to use. There is nothing to wear. There is nothing to turn on. All you have to do is sleep. And for somebody like Rob, who's gone through a sleep study recently, nice to be able to get some of that information without having to go through all those, hoops and jumps to get that information.
It tells you immediately what you need to do to make sure you're getting the best out of your sleep and therefore being the healthiest you can be.
Again, my Sleep Number setting is an 80. Carla's is an 85, and there's only one place in the world to find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology, a Sleep Number store. Come in right now, where a C2 Queen mattress with Sleep IQ technology starts at just $999.98. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. That number again is 800-511-0061. And don't forget to tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Well, hail, hail, the gang's all here. Welcome to the show today. It is a rainy day on the coast of Maine, and kind of scuddy down where you guys are in D.C. as well.
Now, when you get rain in Maine, and I'm not going to do a My Fair Lady joke here, do you kind of dig it?
Damn
Thank
it.
You, but you just did by mentioning
well,
it.
You know what, because people were expecting it.
Hey, Rob.
Mike.
I think you got it. Anyway, I'm sorry.
By George, she's got it.
The rain in Maine stays mainly in my Maine.
Now, do you kind of dig it when it gets sort of rainy and dark up there?
I do, but my wife doesn't.
Oh, does she get a little depressed?
Yeah, well, she's, you know, she's having to be handled this week. Due
Ooh,
to the,
pep talks?
Due to the digs that we have. She's
well, you're
not
living
happy
in a haunted
here.
House.
She's
well,
not
and,
happy.
And that house is dark anyways.
It is dark and
it's like,
it
pardon
is,
the absence of light.
You'll pardon the absence of light, Oscar. A prevarication, yes. Pardon me, Mr. Hobbs. I thought we had a deal. But anyway, I want to share before we get cracking here. I had a real boss moment today. I had a real moment where I really felt like the principal, the father. I feel like I felt like the school marm. I felt like I truly felt like the authority figure today when I.
So when
I
you
come
say
down
a,
here,
when you say a boss moment, you don't mean like boss, like have a boss birthday.
No. Like
radio.
I am the boss. Even though it's very, I'm very open about the structure of our corporate empire here, and the
right
fact
on.
Is that I revenue share with Rob Spiewak and with Oscar Santana. Mm-hmm. So when our show makes any coin,
sorry Mac,
that is just mean.
It is.
He'll never get a single plug nickel. But anyway. When we share, so it's a committee, and the way I talk about how and I mean it when I say that how with both of you guys having my back, I've never had it like this before.
In Spain.
Oh no.
Spain. Mainly in the place.
Yesterday was Patti LuPone.
Yeah.
Today, Julie Andrews.
Yeah, but played in the movie by Audrey Hepburn, right?
Exactly.
See, this is where Rob and I will go. Rob and I will take the bullet train to Queentown.
But you know what?
Right now.
They didn't think Audrey could sing, so she was dubbed by Marnie Nixon.
Oh, so Audrey was dubbed by, it was not Julie Andrews that dubbed Audrey Hepburn's part.
And to get back at Warner's, I think it was, Disney put Julie Andrews in Mary Poppins and said, F you, Jack Warner.
Okay.
All right,
turn it off.
Oh, no,
please.
Here's the hook.
Okay.
The rain is stays mainly in the plain.
That he finds, that music, I will ask for a piece of music that's more contemporary. He will take 9 hours to find it with his big fat fingers.
Well, you know.
But he will find that in the blink of an eye, he finds
well,
that.
Well, you know what? If
that,
you
is
want,
at your, that is at your, immediately you found that.
I was listening on the way to work. If you want some great Julie Andrews, Rex Harrison, Robert Coote music, I'm your guy. Robert Coote is Colonel Pickering.
Thank you. Oh, God, he had to get it all out, or his brain hurts. He'll have a migraine if he doesn't get that out of there.
It's not a migraine.
So,
it's a migraine.
So speaking of the boss moment I had today, which is not boss, but being the boss.
Right.
I get down here to the studio, and I fire everything up, and the connection is together. Normally, we kind of text each other, and then we make our connection, and we start the show, and there's a lot of equipment involved, and it's very expensive, and it's very complicated. I won't bore you with that, but let me just say that I got through, and there was an open connection, so that when I fired all my equipment up here, I could hear the DC studio, and this is what I hear. This is what I hear. I hear. And I hear.
So Oscar's most.
Hold on, let me finish. Because you got to get Pony in there too. It's Oscar and Pony.
Okay.
And then I hear. And I hear. They're obviously listening to something over headphones, I believe.
Right.
But I wasn't sure because I don't have any video signal at this point. All I hear is Oscar laughing and Pony laughing, and they're sharing this laugh.
A grand moment.
And right away, right out of the bat, I say, hi, guys, hello. And they're not monitoring me. They're listening to something that they were playing for each other. And it's like, like that. And so I'm sitting here for 5 minutes. I'm going, hello, guys, hello. So then I finally said, well, I better text him to let me know. So I'm hearing that I send my text.
Right.
And let me just, it's a very simple text, but it was something that said, I'm online,
right,
which meant I'm ready to go. And so this is what I hear. This is what I hear from Oscar. Okay. This is Oscar, and I will now do my impression of Oscar getting my text. Okay. It's like,
oh, boy.
You got to call Mike. You got to call Mike now.
I wish you could see Oscar right now. He has gone from his delightful cafe au lait color of normal to bright red. He is Rob Spiewak having a stroke red now.
They're having like this hysterical laughing bonding moment that really, let's be quite honest, I will never have with Pony.
Well, no.
No matter what happens, I will never experience that
with
him. It's impossible.
Pony has not been this happy since December 10th.
Pony was on the lap. I've never heard him happier. I've never even heard him remotely happier. And then Oscar's going, then gets my text. It's a call Mike. And it's like, it was as though the parents came home and then the party was over and I was sitting there. And so I get him on and I say, what's so funny? And Oscar says, oh, it's nothing.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Like you would tell, like you would say to your parents. And I said,
what
you
doing
I
in
said,
the bathroom, son?
Nothing. And then I say to Oscar, well, yeah, I've been online for the last few minutes. He said, Oscar. And then Oscar says, well, we don't come on until 10:30.
Oh,
like he wanted the party to go on until, and I had just
you came
I
home early.
Yeah,
I came home early. Mom and Dad came home early.
He saw the
That's exactly what it was.
Headlights in the driveway. And
right,
he was
and then
pissed.
And meanwhile, you know, and so meanwhile, Pony is over here, you know. Silence. There is stone. Pony is not saying a word. And I picture Pony over there just like, you know, suddenly shuffling his feet on the carpet and just looking straight down. Sorry we were laughing without you, sir. sorry we were laughing without you, sir. And
I lost sight of Pony for a good 10 minutes after Mike called in.
He shriveled behind his monitor. Yeah.
Oh, and so then I said, so what were you guys laughing at? And they said, it was something on Howard Stern. I'm like, well, isn't that great? Isn't that effing great that you're listening to the guy that took all the money, that took every nickel of it? And what these two radiophiles don't understand is that was one of my, believe it or not, there was a day, Rob, you know the history, Don and I actually communicated to the people of Washington, D.C. in the morning, and we competed against that man.
Yes, of course.
And so there will always be that envy, that jealousy that exists, and it'll never go away. Even though he is in a totally different stratosphere now, I will still always feel that slight pang of jealousy. So when I hear hear that, and it's just like, okay, time to do our show now.
Well, okay.
It was, you know, it was
well,
really
they
a
have
total,
to get
you know,
motivated, entertained somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
All I know is I came in at about 9:50, and you were online with them talking like you'd been on the air for 45 minutes. You were
oh, I was giving
shot
it, I gave
out
them
of a cannon.
I gave him because that you know how that motivates me. That,
yes,
that
of course.
That's like I'm suddenly I've got a bit for the show, and I'm just like going because it was really like. Mike's on the line. Hold on.
Better call Mike. No more listening to that other radio show that we thought was so hysterical. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You but see, anyway. But I understand. I used to listen to Howard when he was funny. I did.
You actually ran the board for him.
Oh, those
you?
Were some grand days, Mike, when I would arrive at WJFK prior to the Stern Show and stay right on through till nightfall. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, the Stern Show, I was a big fan of Mr. Martling.
Those are crucial days. Jesus.
Yeah.
Jackie
so
the Joke
get there
Man.
Before the morning show?
I'd run the Stern Show and hang around for the Don and Mike Show, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then I had the rest
see,
of the
he's
day
getting
off.
All excited. See, he's getting all excited about that now. He likes that.
What, that I
He
would...
likes that stuff. No,
yeah,
whatever.
No,
Oscar's a self-admitted radiophile.
Yeah,
he likes the
yeah.
whole idea that you were there when Stern.
You know what? If you like, after Stern, the show, yeah, yeah. I'll explain to you how I reinvented how we ran board for the Stern Show.
Ooh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, we, you know, if it was, it was,
did you ever talk to him?
No, no.
Well, the history of the Don and Mike show
once,
is that
yeah.
I was on stage with Jackie.
Yeah.
And Jackie fed us a line that some guy, I think Don and I were supposed to MC some comedy event, and Jackie Martling was there, and he was coming on, and the guy said something, maybe made a fat joke, and Jackie Martling fed me a line to use against the guy. I'll never forget it. It was
what
a
was
very gracious. I don't. Jesus Christ, I don't remember what
I
it was.
I do think that you probably had Jackie on as a semi-regular before Stern did. Because
really?
He used to shop himself to morning shows.
Right.
And you would call
yeah,
his
I think
his
we
joke
had
line.
A regular segment yeah. with Jackie the Joke Man
and,
Martling.
And I do believe it ended badly when you called him Sucky the Joke Man.
But wow, Rob.
Ancient
thank
history.
God Rob's got, thank God Rob's got that memory.
Ancient
you know?
History.
Well, no, it is. And it's and the funny thing is, you know, when you look at the... You know, anybody that's in radio and anybody that was in radio during that time and anybody that was in major market radio in that time will look at Howard and there will be that feeling of, you know, anybody that's worked in a market that Howard's yeah. worked in, you will always look at that. And it was pit bull time back then. It was
yeah.
serious battle royale. And they moved us out of the morning show and moved us to afternoons on the same station that Howard was on. And, you know, and so
that
Howard's
was a
career,
blockbuster lineup, though, for that.
Yeah, it was.
Entire station.
It was. But the primary motive was to move Howard so his career could flourish and ours could die on the vine. But anyway, that's the way it
but
went.
But Mike, there was also other benefits that really helped out Harden and Weaver as well.
It did.
What was
indeed.
The lineup when you guys first hit JFK?
Boy, I think the midday show was always was a kind
it,
of a rotating
it was
class- show, but it was Howard in the morning,
classic rock, and then you
and
guys,
then us in the afternoon,
and
that's
then the
right, that's
progressive
right.
show at night.
Then
wow.
Surf's progressive show.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Howard in the morning, then you had classic rock during the middle of the day, played by guys like, oh, man, was it Tony Coulter?
Tony Coulter would more do more evenings. I think afternoons was Rockin' Rich Levinson.
Jesus
wow.
Christ, you've got a memory. Yeah. I swear to God. And then we'd come on in the afternoon, and yeah, that's what happened. So that was my morning. It was very, very funny. I really felt like the parent. I felt like the parent more
it
than
was,
I've ever
it
felt
like
the parent.
It was like, I remember as a child when my parents would come home early from a dinner party.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the lights come through the window of the driveway.
It was normally like a flash because it would
bring
turn.
Bring Oscar's yes. level up for me a little bit if you can.
So
yeah.
they,
just
so they would
bit.
Do that, and then you'd hear the garage hit, so then you hear, and I'm like, oh, F, put away
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
You
that's
left
exactly.
a mess.
And they were doing, and this is something that I, and Oscar, in fairness to you, you kind of tried to share it, but you shared it in a way where you just didn't. It would be like if Dad came home
yeah.
and you were listening to a great comedy album.
Yes.
And as well, tell me what's so funny about it, which
yeah.
is exactly what I did.
Well,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, it's just a bunch of guys that were.
Well, no,
this
another,
is Eddie Murphy raw, Pa.
You know what? Because you are sort of partners, I saw it more as the fact that he's in his dorm room smoking pot. and the RA comes in.
Maybe not that severe.
Okay,
maybe,
drinking maybe a beer. Not. He's drinking a beer.
But it, you know, Oscar has no choice but to communicate with me. Meanwhile, Matthew Bloom is somewhere like 11 inches under the console.
Yeah,
you know, just kind of going, oh, man, oh, that's the only time of my day that I'm going to experience any joy.
He went back
whatsoever.
Into, Mike, back into his genie bottle.
Okay, well, that was great. Well, that was, you know, Oscar rides me so hard, and we were having a real, like, brotherly moment until Fat Ass arrived. Yeah, we were really having a great time until, you know, Captain Bloviate comes on the line. Jeez, now I got to really start my work
all day. All downhill from here.
What's he going to yell at me about today?
Eeyore.
So, in any event, that's it. When we come back, I'm going to take a break here. You guys have asked for it, but special moment up here in Maine over the weekend. It was Sunday, go to meeting day.
And
actually went to the local chapel here in Maine and got a chance to experience something I've never experienced before, Carla's church singing voice. We'll tell you all about that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is Katie, and I would love it if you listened to the Cake and Cookies Show. No, really, please listen. I need an actual reason for spending all this time with Rob. Nobody really wants to spend time with Rob, but I'm fun enough for both of us. Listen to Cake and Cookies. You'll love half of it. My half. Every Wednesday at MikeO'MaraShow.com, part of the More Network.
Welcome back to the show. This segment of our program brought to you by LegalZoom.
Zoom!
You got a plan for your future, right? Am I right about that? Right?
Right, 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 right. Right,
right. I am right. You're right. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. You do financial planning. You get your insurance. But to get real peace of mind, you've got to make sure your family and finances are legally protected. So where do you turn for legal help you can trust? Well, it's LegalZoom.com. They have been helping Americans get personalized wills, powers of attorney, and living trusts for over 13 years. LegalZoom also helps protect your assets with LLCs, S-Corps, trademarks, real estate documents, and more. The service was developed by some of the best legal minds in the country to make it painless for you to get the legal protection that you need. We talk about it all the time on the Mike O'Mara Show,
yes,
that we got the haves and we got the have-nots. This makes a lot of things accessible to people that might not be able to do that. If you have been hesitating to get some work done because you thought you couldn't afford it, visit LegalZoom, and they'll take care of you from start to finish. It's the modern way to get legal help. For special savings, be sure to enter the code TMOS in the referral box at checkout. Remember, discount code TMOS. Protect your family and protect your future at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom was developed by top attorneys to provide self-help services at your specific direction, but they are not a law firm. Legal help is furnished through vetted independent attorneys. LegalZoom.com and use that code TMOS. Do it today,
nice,
everybody. Having a wonderful, rekindling with all of my relatives up here in the state that I called my part-time home for all of my years growing up, and I'm very connected to New England. And when people ask me about it, they say, "Well, you're from Boston. You're from Boston. You're from Boston." No, I'm not from Boston. I'm not from Massachusetts.
You
I
never
was born,
lived in Boston, right?
Never lived in Boston. Born and raised. Have tons of relatives in Massachusetts, but I was born and raised in a very small town in Connecticut called Hartford, the insurance capital. My father worked for an insurance company, and I lived in a small suburb outside of Hartford,
it
Connecticut.
It was the projects, right?
Yeah, you're going to get back to that again.
No.
I was in a real rough neighborhood.
It was, he was a roughneck, is what he
I was
growing
roughneck.
Up.
Yeah. I lived in the Bowery. So
the Bowery. Yes,
but
Mike was born in 1910.
But I was in the Bowery. I was part of the Bowery Bums. As a matter of fact, growing up as a kid, I always talked like that. Hey, how you doing, Pops? How about a piece of chewing gum? You got a piece
shoes.
Of chewing gum? You got any Beemans on you? What's that?
Newspaper shoes.
That's right.
Yes, that's what I would walk to school in, 25 miles. small suburb of Hartford, Connecticut, and then every single summer, for not the whole summer, but for the weeks that my dad had off, my dad would accumulate all of his vacation for the year.
Mm-hmm.
At the peak, he got 3 weeks a year, and he would take us up to Maine for 3 weeks, and it was
the great 3 weeks of my year.
I would guess that as a kid, your whole year probably was predicated on that and Christmas. That's probably how you lived out your entire year.
100%. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like you were there. The fact is, driving up here to Maine was such a thrill for me, and it's filled with memories. All of my firsts happened in Maine. My first cigarette, my first drink was up here, and my first...
Genesis Pa?
First stroke.
Yeah. That's coming.
It's a mini stroke.
It's on the bucket list.
To be fair, it was a mini stroke. Yeah.
So coming up here to Maine was always very special. I loved it here.
He's
because
down.
Get a Snickers.
Thank you.
Right off the seawall.
The seawall. Now, I have also watched my children grow up here.
Yes.
And I have watched my my sister's children grow up here. And now I am watching my sister's children's children grow up here. And now I'm watching my sister's children's children hobnob with my son, who is younger than they are.
Right
so
on.
That's the weird modern family deal. One of the things I have, and I always talk about it, I have my sister, and then I have five cousins.
Okay, there's
and
Teddy.
Teddy.
Billy.
Johnny. Billy.
Tito.
Mary. And Ellen.
Okay.
Those are the cousins.
What about LaToya?
LaToya is not here any longer.
Half
she
cousin.
Started her.
Oh, yeah.
She started her own band.
LaToya O'Mara.
So hard.
She was adopted.
It's so hard. No. So... the memories up here are incredible. My father's ashes are scattered in the Atlantic out here, and I always talk to him when I first arrive at the house. And so this is the first time in my adult life where I've spent more than a week up here for any significant amount of time. Maybe 2 weeks. Maybe in the Don and Mike days, I might have gotten 2 weeks up here. But it was more like 10 days. That would be the top. This is the first time I've ever gotten into the rhythm. All of my other family members, all of them, every single one of them have managed to spend significant amounts of time up here compared to me.
Right.
So I don't want to say I'm an outsider, but I'm doing things that I've never done before.
Do they tend to think of that as a character flaw in you, that you have not spent much time up there?
No, I don't think so.
Do they love the fact that you don't come?
I don't think that they give it much thought, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
I think that, you know, they live their lives and I live my lives, and we're not, you know, it's not like we're all at the same place. We're we're not in the same house, but we are all here at various times, and you guys know, you saw it.
Mm.
We're scattered all over the place up here.
Yeah.
And so this is where the family is. And
to be
one of the
one
things,
example,
yes, go ahead.
One example, when you were trying to navigate me into your impossible to find home, your direction was go up this road and turn right at Cousin Teddy's house. And
that's what I said.
I said, that's all well and good, Mike, but I don't know what Cousin Teddy's house looks like.
I know.
He's not my cousin, but there's a house everywhere that belongs to someone you know.
Yeah, well, my cousin. I've got five or six of them that have houses, and you know, they've raised their family up here as well. And so we're on the porch with my cousin, and my wife is talking to his wife, and suddenly, before we were getting ready to leave because the baby was getting fussy, the subject of church comes up.
Oh,
and
worship.
Carla was invited to come down to the local chapel, and so Carla had had wine, and I had not, and I didn't hear this going on, but as we're leaving, it's something along the lines of, okay, we'll see you tomorrow then, looking forward to it.
Oh,
and
no.
I didn't realize that suddenly, in the blink of an eye, Carla had agreed to go to church, which for me... a song plays in my head when somebody mentions church.
Yeah,
it's been a long time for me.
For longtime listeners of this program, you've gone to a couple different churches of different denominations, trying to find your religious footing.
Yeah,
and
then
you
I
haven't
quit.
Found, and you haven't found any place of comfort.
Yeah, I quit. I just didn't.
And I think that's best.
And I
for the common good, Mike. Business. Yeah, it is. It's good for
business. I usually quit for the same reasons.
What's that?
Well, there are two reasons that I normally stop doing it, because this is what all churches do, at least my experience. They want to get you into their club.
Right.
So they reach out to you and they want you to do this and want you to do. It's not just showing up on Sunday and getting your worship on and then having a cup of tea and then going home. It's they want you at this thing or that thing.
You know what always used to scare me? If you go to a church where you're not a member and usually in the pew in front of you, there's the visitor card.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, please fill out a visitor card.
I don't fill those out.
Fill out a visitor card and put in the collection plate. The thing that always scared me was the box that you could check. I would like to request a visit from the minister. And it's like, I don't want him playing an away game at my house.
I filled that card out once. Rob knows that my spiritual journey is never ending. It's continuous.
Begun.
I haven't gotten off the aircraft carrier. But the fact is, I filled one of those cards out once, and I think we got 11 phone calls inside of 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I was done with that.
And I
ran away. I ran away after that.
Absolutely.
And then the second thing is, you remember that church that I was going to a lot, right? The one that I went down with the people to Haiti with.
Right on.
A lot of them were members of this church. And so I went down there, and then I came back and said, well, these were wonderful human beings and people that I really got along well with, so I'll go to their church when I get back. And I did. And when I did that, there was kind of that fellowship, and I walked in, and it was kind of cool. And then the one minister there spent a whole day with his sermon talking about what's something called tithing.
Oh, 10% of your income should go to the church.
And so tithing was the subject of his sermon. And so when I walked out of the church after that, Carla said, "How did you like the sermon?" I said, and I was in the car and I left and I didn't come back. Didn't come back after that because it turned me off.
It's a very old school thing. I don't know if it's actually in the Bible, but I think it's accepted.
And not every church does that.
But in old school
Not every church does that. No, and I am not in any way slamming church. You guys know I've gone to church. Yeah. I try all the time. But the fact is that there's something about the concept of spreading their word, which I know is a central theme in many organized religious groups, that I don't go for. I don't care if they build the bigger building so they can poop more people into the bigger building so that then they can go somewhere else to build a bigger building. I'm not a part of that. I don't like that. That's what corporations do.
Well, you've also built this comedy cathedral.
And this is where you worship. And to be fair, Oscar, he's not actually quoting from the sermon. He's paraphrasing. The guy didn't
actually
say
good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Oscar Santana's Comedy Cathedral. If you're here today, we will be featuring Crank Calls from the Howard Stern Show. We hope you enjoy it. Should be big fun. Pony Boy Matt Bloom calls it the funniest thing he's ever heard. Certainly better than anything ever on the Mike O'Mara Show. I wish I didn't feel that. And I'm not. I want to make it really clear. There are a lot of people that are very religious that listen to our show. I don't slam anybody for doing whatever they want, where they're following their particular
path.
Path.
But
it's a
personal journey. And if you're not getting out of church what you need, then you shouldn't go. Because then you're just going through the motions, and that's every bit as false as anything else in the world.
Well, and I have a bit of an ebb and flow when it comes to that type of activity. And I wish, some would say that's because you don't have faith. And I wish, sometimes I wish I had greater faith. I really do. I wish that I could latch on to something, but something always seems to happen that makes me take a step back. Now, I was raised Roman Catholic, along with all my cousins up here, and we all used to trundle into church in Ellsworth, and we'd go on Sundays. And one of the things I remember being the youngest in the family.
Right.
you guys know, you've met several of them, that my family has one particular gene that actually runs through it, and that is the comedy gene.
Yes.
The fact is that it sits there, and above all else, with the good, the bad, the one thing that reigns supreme is the funny. That's what we do.
Very true. We don't
necessarily hug and kiss each other, but we definitely do the funny, and everybody tries to do shtick. So I'm here to tell you that being the youngest in the family and perhaps the easiest mark for laughing, I got in a tremendous amount of trouble going to church with my older cousins. A tremendous amount of trouble because I was always the one that lost it. I was always the one that laughed.
I know we're up against a break, but real quick, yes. Was it a cousin that got you with King Vitamin?
No, that was Jimmy McDonald.
Okay,
that was when I got confirmed.
I'm sorry, but that's one of my favorite stories.
But the reason he got me is because the more sacred, the more
special.
I'm trying to find the word. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Sacred.
The more vaulted, the more sanctimonious.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm looking
cherished.
For.
No, it's anything.
More cherish the institution, the more I would laugh. That was the way it went, and I was conditioned to that. And what I'm setting up is the fact that I went to church with these same cousins, and it flooded back. I'm 55 years old, and suddenly I was 8 again. And it came back. And the number one culprit was my cousin Teddy.
Not shocked.
Well, Teddy was walking down the street to the chapel with his kids, sees me, turns around, puts his hands in the air, and goes, "Praise Jesus."
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And it began there, okay? And I'll tell you what happened when we got into the chapel because it surprised me when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Is it venerable? Is that the word that I was looking
venerable
for?
Venerable is good,
a
yeah.
venerable institution.
Sure.
That's the more venerable,
but,
the
more I'm
going to giggle.
But, you know, anytime something is taboo, you're
yes.
drawn to it. How many times have you laughed in class and something
right.
wasn't that funny, but you can't stop?
Well, that's it. And because it is, you're supposed to be serious.
Right.
And that very fact is what makes you be silly. Anyway, we'll get to it in a second here because, you know, my cousins are not at fault. They didn't do anything, but I will tell you something did set me off. And
okay.
I'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
This segment of the program is brought to you by our Amazon page. It's the dog days of summer, everybody.
Bark.
But you don't need to battle a crowded barking lot. Amazon lets you stay inside, double-clicking and staying cool as a cucumber. Sunblock, pool toys, beach towels, sunglasses, xylophones. Yes, Amazon has it all. And since you're as cool as a cucumber, why not buy cucumber seeds? Or a cucumber gel mask. Maybe you need a bottle of Thayer brand cucumber witch hazel.
You know, Mike, if you don't shop at Amazon, you're really in a pickle.
Absolutely. And Amazon has a wide range of pickles. Mount Olive, dill.
Oh, all of them. Bread and butter,
yeah.
Mrs. Fanning's.
Whether you need a trash can, a wallet, glue sticks, a suit of armor or light bulbs, Amazon has it. Just go to our page.
Yeah.
It's MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. It's the number one way to support the show, and it helps us all very, very much to pay our mortgage, which
yes.
is why we want you to get your great deals on Amazon and support the Mike O'Mara Show. Number one way. And please don't forget this summer. It's very important. That's the point we wanted to make.
Thank you.
Did I make that clear?
I think so.
All
it's
right.
a venerable institution.
Anyway, Teddy walking down with his magnificent children, Quinn and Cade.
Quinn is the older boy that is very
yes.
into baseball, right? What
yes.
a charming kid. Fun to talk
Quinn,
to.
Absolutely spectacular kids. And I will tell you, with Ben, his older son, Teddy makes good sons.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn and Cade and Sam and Ben are just magnificent young men, and I love them all. I really do. I don't see a lot of them, but I feel very close to these kids. And as far as the extended family, we've got wonderful kids. We really do. My niece and my nephew and my niece's kids, Max and little beautiful Amelia. It's just there are lots of wonderful kids in the family.
Teddy
really
is so
are.
Magnificent with children. I was not as schooled on lobster eating as I should be, so Teddy volunteered to teach Robert how to eat a lobster on the 4th
right.
of July. And
yeah.
not only did he teach him, but I also got a wonderful version of the Teddy show. Every time Robert extracted a decent piece of meat from the shell, Teddy would say, "Now that part's poison. I'll eat that."
It's a running joke.
Oh, he's
so
great.
We get into church, and it's just that atmosphere. Sitting in front of me is my cousin Billy, my cousin Johnny, and my cousin Teddy. And thank God I'm in back of them because we have the infant. So you have the built-in excuse where you can get out of Dodge if you have to. And I'm sitting next to Carla.
Is it a Catholic church?
No, it's a little chapel. I think it's a non-denominational chapel.
And not very big then, sort of tiny.
Not big at all. And okay. not really well-populated that particular day because not a lot of people are up here yet. So they start the service, and they start the service with, people will know this hymn because this is the same hymn that is played in the Titanic. And they had a visiting minister who was from a seacoast ministry where they actually go out on these boats to the outlying islands to minister to people. And so he was visiting. So I think that's perhaps why this particular selection was picked, which is a selection that's about the sea.
It's called, Mike, for what it's worth, it's called Eternal Father. And it
also
is
the Navy hymn, I think.
The Naval hymn, and it's
the Naval hymn
in dedication to people who work with or near the sea.
Right.
So
I don't mean, so turn it up a little bit so we can hear this. And then, so they're playing with the organ music here. And I'm reading the words, and I'm going, and I notice that next to me, I hear a voice, and the voice is my wife, who is attempting to sing the hymn.
Now, have you heard her sing before, say, along with the radio, or?
I have not brought up.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Be very careful, Mr. Spicoli. Dangerous ground.
I haven't brought up the fact that Carla rhythmically does not have what would be referred to as natural rhythm. She doesn't keep a beat like a like Buddy Rich.
Understood. Okay? Understood.
She dances like Elaine.
She's got some rhythmic issues as far as that. And so
the old days, Mike, they would say she's got a beat like a cop.
Yes. So singing and dancing and that area of our life is perhaps has a bit of a hole there.
You're a drummer, so you have, you can follow.
I have rhythm, and yes. I am. I and
oh,
one
you've
of the
got music.
That,
who can ask for anything more?
Thank you, Rob. So I listen next to me, and what is coming out of Carla is she's attempting to sing this hymn, and I should get the lyrics. Let me get the lyrics. Hold
Please.
On a second. I'm going to get the lyrics out.
You know what we're blessed, Oscar?
If I'm going to do this, I want to do it properly.
We are blessed because not only did Mike build the Comedy Cathedral, he laid the cornerstone, he donated the bell. But also, he is a talented and cunning mimic, and I believe if we bring the lyrics up, he'll be able to make it almost as though we were there.
Ah.
Yeah, and you'll have to probably start at...
He'll transport us there.
And what irony, the fact that he would think that his opponent, his biggest foe, his dragon, at the church would be his relatives, when in fact it was his own wife.
Perhaps we have a little background on the Navy hymn, Eternal Father,
yes.
Strong to Save. The original words were written as a poem in 1860 by William Whiting.
Yes, he's excellent.
Of Winchester, England.
I called him Bill.
Eternal Father was the favorite hymn of, here we go again, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Ooh.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
And it was sung at his funeral in Hyde Park. I didn't know that. It was mm-hmm. also played by the Navy Band in 1963 at JFK's funeral procession. As it was carried up the steps of the U.S. Capitol, he was in the Navy, of course. Roosevelt had served as Secretary of the Navy, and Kennedy was a PT boat commander. Now, I'm going to try to do the best I can. You're not going to hear a lot of the detail in the words, but I need them to follow along.
Understood.
And I want to. I'm going to try to recreate the sound that I heard.
So
in
this
my
is not necessarily.
Right ear.
This is not necessarily what was happening. This is what you recall.
This is kind of what I recall, and I want to set the stage, a tiny little New England chapel, a beautiful, angelic little baby in a car seat inside the stroller, sitting in the aisle, behaving very, very well, mm-hmm. and then an empty pew with Carla to my right and me right there in the right side of the pew.
Shall we take it from the top, Maestro?
I will just try to... duplicate her sound. Now, she's a very petite young woman, and so my register, I don't have the same octave level, but I'll do the best I can. That is as close as I can.
I think that was
let's
wondrous.
Go to the.
No, Christ has voiced the waters. Christ there.
Anyway, it was. Now, I have heard Carla sing popular music and like sing along to it, and she has a very nice voice. This was a different type of circumstances, and I realized that when we went to the other place together, they do that modern thing the kids like now. Oh. Everybody wears sandals and wears like untucked shirts and
right.
kind of does, Jesus is my man. Oh, Lord, you're such a special man.
I think
that's the modern version
of
worship.
Was it the kind where they put the lyrics up on like a projector so you didn't even have to hold a hymnal? Because I love the modern thing where you don't even have to do
anything.
I've
seen that before.
You just show up and you sing rock records.
Maybe Carla's usually auto-tuned.
Oh, hear us as we cry to.
Yeah, you should have seen Carla in post. It was great.
I just want to say that I love you. Know how much I love my wife.
She was moved by the spirit. She wanted to sing along.
Yeah. She was the one that got us there. Yeah. She was the one that wanted us to be there. I think we are going to be attending this Sunday as well.
Hey, that's terrific.
That's something to look forward to.
That's great.
So it was interesting, and I just
did you mention anything to her after the service?
No. What happened was, well, put the music on again.
Oh, you want the music?
You're going to hear what I did.
And so, did you try to drown her out?
Rob, do you want to take the role of Carla kind of doing
sure.
the thing, and I'll be me. Okay.
Okay, leave it here.
What is that? Anyway, so it went on.
You laughed at her.
I laughed.
She sang.
I was
did you
using.
Get caught?
The only thing I didn't do was bite my lower lip to prevent myself from guffawing. And this is
did
the
you get
first
caught, though?
Him. No, because we're in the rear. We're in the back pew. We're away from everybody.
But
pew.
She's next to you.
But she was next to me, and it wasn't. And the thing about it is, when she was singing this, it was kind of like. She was not committing to right. the song, and my cousin Teddy's wife Mandy has a beautiful singing voice, and she was singing very loudly there, and I think maybe Carla was caught up with that a little bit, but it was some, and then I'm in the middle. Unfortunately, it was really more shoulder shaking than anything else.
Yes,
because I was trying with all of my spirit not to do this. I was trying not to. So anyway, I just want to say, honey. I appreciate you letting me talk about this. I told you I was. I do love you, and I think I have one word to tell you, and that is practice.
Now, yes. This will be the first time, maybe since I've known you,
yes.
you've gone to the same church 2 weeks
back
in a
row. Back-to-back Sundays.
Which brings me to the question, and uh-huh. Carrie and I are not the most religious couple, but right. we had both of our kids baptized.
What about you, Oscar? Do you go to church very often or what?
We looked into it.
There's no money in it.
It didn't really slide into our schedule.
Okay, yeah.
I'll go with my mom. My mom will call me and say, hey, let's go. And I said, all right, why not?
That's when you go to the big Catholic church with like 7,000 worshipers, right?
Yeah, but there's also like a CrossFit sunrise service that's great.
But you don't go on a regular basis, right?
No. We're like maybe Christmas, never Easter, maybe Christmas.
Maybe Christmas. Way to put yourself out.
Like you know what? Like the Christmas service. It's the best one of the year.
Yeah,
it's like the Carson anniversary show. It's the one you don't miss.
Rob has always said it's a shame they don't have more Phil Spector arrangements at a Christmas
service. Wouldn't it be great if they did like, you know,
layered.
A little town of Bethlehem right into the bells of St. Mary's, then Christmas, baby, please come home.
Rob Spiewak's ideal Christmas service would be he leans over to Carrie and go, this service sounds exactly like Mike O'Mara's iPod.
Exactly. That would be so great. Singing, and now the singing dogs.
Exactly.
To do jingle bells.
Thank you very much.
But do you think with that little chapel up there and him coming up on his first birthday, is there a baptism in his future?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I can't believe you brought that up because the fact that I don't know if I talked to you about it.
No, you haven't because I was thinking, what an ideal
place. My mom has been... about that.
Obviously a big deal to her.
But I don't know because they don't have what they have is I don't think they've got the structure for that because they have these ministers just kind of come in and visit.
Bay.
I was going to say, why don't you approach one of the traveling ministers like from Little House on the Prairie and have him, you know, slip him a few bucks and he could baptize him.
Slip him a few bucks.
Well, you have to
tip
him.
Hi, Padre. Here's a cool 20 for you. Well, you think you might want to linger a little longer and take him down to the ocean?
You know that's how it works. And then you can take him past the seawall where your family's house is.
Oh, that would be
gorgeous. Have him baptized in Frenchman's Bay.
All white.
When we get back to Florida, Carla and I are going to actually look for a place to
wait a second. If temperature is a problem, we can always go to Timbertina's. They have that waiting pool.
Oh, that would be great. Can you
Timbertina's baptism waiting pool.
And Lumberjack Show.
Everybody. Yep. Come on over to Timbertina's Lumberjack Show baptism waiting pool. Everybody that gets baptized gets a free blueberry scone.
Hey, how would you like to be baptized and promised a place in heaven by a lady who got kicked off Survivor? Come on in.
Oh, my God. But anyway, we'll see. Because mom has been, you know, my mother is very devout. She's a very religious woman, very Catholic. And she has said, you know, she's made many comments about that. So we kind of have to take that.
I think, you know what? I think that's.
I'm even awkward talking about it.
No,
can you tell?
It shouldn't be awkward.
I'm sweating right now. I'm getting all uptight, and it's 50 degrees here right now.
It's a lovely gesture. It would mean so much to your mom. I really wish you would re-examine the thought of doing it up there.
Or do it in Boston on the way home.
Oh, geez.
What do I stop over at, you know, next to the donut shop and then say, pop in for a baptism? Don't you have to be part of the community to do that?
Well, they kind of lean on that.
A check would do all kinds of wonders,
That's why the Frenchman's Bay angle is strong.
Yeah.
Rob, are you talking about dipping my child in the bay?
You don't dip him in the bay. The priest or the celebrant holds him and gives him a little splash on the forehead. That water is as holy to you as anything on earth.
You know, it has been a year.
It's time, man. It's time.
It's overdue. It's overdue. Yeah. And now I know I'm going to get people that are sending me messages about that. Don't do that.
Don't message Mike. This is between Mike and Carla and the baby
and God
and his mother
and my creator.
And Mike's creator.
And a nice reception at the house. I don't know who's at the house this month, but somebody could, you know.
Yeah, get a cake.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Well, I'm getting a cake Saturday. We're having a nice little birthday party for him.
Birthday baptism.
Yes.
Turkey, chili. No, it's not. We're not as a group that religious.
What about Bat Day?
Bat Day. I thought we were going. No. Suddenly, I thought you had us down in Fenway Park
Bat Day.
Yeah, take him down to the Bat Cave. Put him in the Batmobile.
Well, who knows? I didn't get a chance to talk about my favorite new TV show, The Search for Bigfoot. We're going to have to do that tomorrow. And then we have to get to you boys because you had a bit of a vacation last week as well, right?
Absolutely. Well, Oscar,
all right, we'll do that.
Not really.
Oscar worked.
But you know what? It was fun.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad, and we will hear all about it tomorrow. I will also offer up some tips for anybody planning on vacationing up here in New England. I've got some wonderful little vacation reminders for people.
Are you
going to
put together like an e-pamphlet that people can download?
Oh, absolutely. That doesn't even need a pamphlet, Rob. Just, you know, my little sermon, not to be totally religious, about how to come up to this clip joint we call New England. But anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show. show.
I was traveling down the road, feeling hungry and cold.
Do you love your iPhone? Do you love your iPad? Do you love your Android? Do you love your Nexus 7? Did you play Atari? Did you program the TRS-80? Do you love technology? We all do. And more importantly, Boo. Do you love entertainment? Yes. And if you do all those Boo. And above, or whatever I'm trying to say, you should listen to Tech Boo. 411. That's right, Tech 411 Show with Oscar Santana and Todd Moore. Bring it.
Let's try it now. That was fair.
More broadcasting. Jesus. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Sorry.
Give us more, Oscar. Give Nothing us more. We want more.
World. Nothing better in the world than watching Oscar. Is he on Ustream when we run yeah. those promos?
You bet he is.
Put it on video and watch Oscar listen to his promo. It's the greatest.
I want more. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm going to say something that's going to surprise you. Are you ready for this?
Go.
You should be snacking more.
What?
You need to be snacking more.
What?
What's wrong with you, Mike, you idiot, you say? How can you tell me to snack more? I'm going to get fat, not so. Here's why. We've discovered NatureBox.com, or specifically the healthy one among us, Mr. Oscar Santana,
Love it. There he
is a NatureBox addict. NatureBox provides hundreds of delicious snacks, and I do mean delicious. Plus, you don't feel guilty about eating them because they're better for you. They're natural with zero trans fat and zero high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks that are low on sugar, non-GMO, and gluten-free, and there's free shipping as well.
Love it.
You know that cranky moment around 3 p.m. when you're ready to tear into anything? Here's what you do. Grab some PB&J granola from NatureBox, or baked sweet potato fries, or, I love this one, sweet blueberry almonds.
Oh,
yum, yum,
yeah.
yum, yum, yum. No more hunger, no more crankiness. Now I'm going to make you really happy. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you try NatureBox.com right now, you're going to get 50% off your first box. Just go to NatureBox.com/TMOS. You should be snacking, but you have to snack smarter. Stay full, stay strong. Go to NatureBox.com/TMOS to get 50% off your first box. NatureBox.com/TMOS. And remember, use our code, okay? NatureBox.com/TMOS. Yum. Mm. And we thank you for supporting them.
Across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Meara Show now presents News You May Not Need, a comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, News You May Not Need.
After an hour-long rain delay and 4 hours' worth of long balls, athletics outfielder, Yoenis Cespedes has won his second consecutive home run derby crown. He beat Red Slugger Todd Frazier 9-1 in the final round, and we had to listen to Chris Berman go, bang, 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 bang.
Let me ask a quick leading question, Mike.
We're showing television.
Is there anything better on TV than the home run derby?
You know, I don't know why I watch it. I really don't know why.
You've been complaining about it for years.
I was on my laptop most of the night. I was watching it as background noise. But
okay.
I do enjoy that. They don't even cover with camera angles the home run derby properly. They just have – they think they can get away with just Chris – fat old Chris Berman just going bank, bank, bank. That's going all the way. And then he mentions like a local suburb. That's going to travel all the way to – like that. So anyway, that's it. Cespedes is the first to win back-to-back home run derby titles since Ken Griffey. Cespedes will likely get a chance to defend his back-to-back title next summer at the 2015 home run derby in Cincinnati's Great American Ballpark. He is a true spectacle to watch.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
watching him.
Do you have all-star fever, Mike?
Oh, you should. Of course I do.
Careful.
How can I not? Yeah, the Red Sox manager's managing the American League team. No, I don't. The list of people who find the Redskins name offensive continues to grow. The latest to join the chorus of finger waggers, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who weighed in on the matter Sunday during an appearance on ABC's This Week. He says, quote, "I'm going to speak very personally now." When asked about the team name, he says, quote, "The name ought to be changed. It's an offensive name. The Redskins, that organization is a great one. It's a team with a storied history that has huge amounts of support in D.C. And in the 21st century, they could increase their fan base, increase their level of support if they did something that, from my perspective, is so obviously right." Interesting perspective on that. I'm not there all the time, Oscar. What's the pulse? I mean, I think that I feel like maybe about 2-3 months ago there might have been a little bit of a tide swing, don't you think?
I agree, though it's so strange that now that training camp is about to start and people are getting Redskins fever again, it feels like people have forgot the cause that they were so all about
we
earlier.
Have such a short memory span.
It's true.
They're so excited about the return of the game that they don't care about what's right. So, yeah, so yeah, true.
And you know what? And it would be the right thing to do.
Of
and
course
that's the
it
way
would.
I feel about it. So, but it's not going to happen. Jenny McCarthy won't be returning to The View next season, but she will have a job. The 41-year-old comedian announced Monday on Howard Stern's Sirius XM radio show.
But that's a funny
to
show.
By that, yeah. It's the funniest.
You ever listen in the I like Matt to listen Bloom's, before the show.
Matt Bloom says, quote, "It's the only time I ever laugh."
That's right.
So anyway, she'll have a limited run hourly series called Dirty, Sexy, Funny with Jenny McCarthy. The show takes its name from her live all-female comedy tour, Dirty, Sexy, Funny with Jenny McCarthy and Friends. Jenny explained, noting that some of those women will be guests on the radio series, as well as stars like Chelsea Handler and her fiancé Donnie Wahlberg. "I'm not holding anything back," she says. She also said in a statement, "It's no secret that I love to talk. I'm excited to do it on Sirius XM without having to interrupt anyone or keep things clean." So,
you know,
we'll have to see how that
today.
Goes.
As Jenny McCarthy gets older, Dirty, Sexy, Funny, 1 for 3.
Nadia Sulman, remember her, the Octomom?
Oh, she's hot.
Yeah, she pleaded no contest on Monday to a single count of misdemeanor welfare fraud. The Octomom failed to disclose income she was receiving from videos. I think they were those dirty videos.
Oh.
And so gross. And personal appearances while collecting more than $26,000. Sulman was sentenced to 200 hours of community service and 2 years of probation and ordered to pay a small fine. So, you know, she's got to feed those 14 kids. She's doing it any way she can.
Those videos would have to really be a problem.
Yeah, pretty nasty.
Yeah.
The police in Newark, Delaware got several calls on Saturday night around 9:40 p.m. from people who saw two people having sex on the roof of a Chipotle.
Oh, isn't it Newark? Isn't the Delaware City Newark?
Is it Newark?
I believe it is.
Not Newark, like Jersey?
That's Jersey.
You know, I base it on when I'm on the train, you know, Newark.
Newark.
Yeah.
You know? Newark.
When the cops got there, the couple was still going at it. The cops told them to stop, but it took them about 20 seconds to actually dismount and stop.
Geez. I'm going to, as out of so respect, gross. Mike, for you and Oscar and the listeners, not going to make a joke about corn salsa.
Oh, God. The cops finally told him they were under arrest, so they took off running. But the cops tracked him down at an apartment next door. 38-year-old Michael Suh, it's S-U-H, and 27-year-old Nicole Jermack were charged with lewdness, resisting arrest, indecent exposure, conspiracy, and loitering. Michael's apartment next door to the Chipotle has a view of the roof.
Oh.
So the cops are thinking maybe they were looking at the roof and thought it'd be a good place to get it on.
Yeah, a Burger King would be better, I guess.
Get it on,
baby.
Yeah.
Get it on.
Yeah. Doctors at Harvard have figured out the 10 best foods to instantly improve your mood. It's because they trigger the right chemicals in your brain. Would you like me to go 1 to 10 or 10 to 1?
10 to 1, please.
Number 10 is dark chocolate. Number 9 is tea.
Oh.
Any tea, like even just Lipton tea?
It simply says tea,
wow.
So I don't know.
Delicious.
Number 8, red peppers. Now, I hate it when they have one list, but then they put multiple things on. Number 8 is red peppers, kiwi fruit, and other foods with high vitamin C.
Okay.
Maybe that's an orange, too.
Yeah.
Number 7, whole grains like oatmeal or brown rice. I had oatmeal today. Isn't that disgusting?
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank Maybe you tonight much. I'll make some brown rice.
Oscar, you ever eat this? Number 6 is flaxseed.
Oh, yeah. My chick always puts that in. You know, she puts that in her water sometimes.
And there's an oil, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 5 is salmon. I eat salmon. I like salmon.
Oh, salmon.
Salmon day.
Number 4, carrots and celery.
Who doesn't love carrots?
Number 3, eggs.
Bring them on.
Number 2, something that I don't believe has touched Rob Spiewak's colon in 13 years, dark leafy greens.
Oh, now you see, laugh if you
right.
will. Spinach? I love collards and I love kale.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Cooked all, as long as you cook all the nutrients out of them,
oh,
right?
Boil it all damn day. The water's darker than the leaves.
And baseball players at number 1, ladies and gentlemen, the baseball players love this. Pumpkin seeds.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
roasted,
pumpkin seeds, number
baked.
1. All right, boys, now it's time for a little New England something-something. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
All right, I'm going to tell this story like a guy would tell it in New England, all right?
Good.
Guy from Holyoke, Mass, Patrick Hogan. Irish much? Yeah. All right, Pat Hogan. We're going to call him Pat, not Patrick, all right? Pat Hogan goes into a pizza joint, Mimos, orders his pie. Pie doesn't come out for a half an hour. Hogan is pissed. Hogan demands his money back. Mimo's worker gives him his pie and his money back, but Hogan says the Mimo's worker threw the money at him. Huh? Hogan goes nuts, picks up a gumball machine, throws it over the counter.
This is all true. He threw it over the counter, knocks the cash register on the floor, pulls a clock off the wall and smashes it, and tries to dive over the counter to get at the worker, but he's restrained by a couple of other customers. Meanwhile, this other dude captures it all on his phone, and Hogan goes after him, too. Smashes his phone and punches the guy several times in the face. Then Hogan tries to get away in his truck, but he's stopped by Northampton PD and gets booked. Are you ready for the charges?
Yeah, the charges.
All right, charges here. Assault with a deadly weapon. The gumball machine.
Of course.
There you go. Two counts of assault and battery, the worker, and the cell phone dude. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Malicious destruction of property, the clock, and the cash register.
And probably the gumball machine.
And larceny. You know why?
Why?
He stole the cell phone before he smashed it. And, of course, there's vandalism. All I can say is thank God for the All-Star break, because after that, nobody could handle another Sox loss. Thank you very much. Take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak. Try to contain yourself, Mac. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. That's right. Some night, late at night, Mac, when you're sitting there going, why wasn't I invited to Maine? Maybe it's because you sort of received the show like you're receiving an autopsy. But anyway.
Or like he's on bottom and he's not into that.
But to be fair, you should see Mac listen to the Howard Stern Show.
He Absolutely. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, folks, just a kindly reminder that our book Open Mic is still available, and it's still great.
Keep sending your pictures.
Yes, send your pictures from all over the place. Cappy Pfeiffer went on an amazing tour of the Monterey Peninsula and gave us some pictures from Cannery Row and pictures from the Seaquarium. It was wonderful.
Our book was in prison. It was in the Monterey prison.
I love getting those. It shows us that you love the book and that you're taking it everywhere with you. The story is told by the people who lived it. Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak. As well as interviews with dozens of other members of the Cognoscente, as told to the wonderful author Michael Baldman Kelly. It's available in paperback for your Kindle at Amazon.com. It's open mic, so please get it today. Get the book today and then let us know what's going on. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Tuesday, July 15, 2014. Rob Spiewak.
I tell you a name, you tell me if you know who it is. It's a man with two middle initials, George R. R. Martin.
Oh,
He's the producer of the Beatles.
No, that's George Martin. Very good, but not George R. R. Martin.
He is the author of Game of Thrones.
Right, and he makes you and me.
See the fat guy?
Yeah, he makes us look spry and athletic. And
yes.
Some readers are upset that he hasn't finished the book Game of Thrones yet, and they're worried that he may die before the series comes to an end.
Because he's fat?
Because he's fat. And
right.
he responded to these readers, and I think he handles it very well.
Well, I find that question, you know, pretty offensive, frankly, when people start speculating about my death and my health. So,
F***
you to those people.
So that's the guy that's responsible for Game of Thrones.
You gotta love that.
All right, do you want to go to Pet Corner? I think we got a couple good pet tapes here. Mike, remember when you emailed me last night urgently and you said, Rob, what does it sound like when a cat eats corn on the cob?
Hey, we had corn on the cob last night in the O'Mara house.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was very, very Walmart-y.
Yellow, white, or harmony?
It was yellow.
Ah, sweet corn.
Yes, okay, Rob. Rob, get your focus back, please.
All right, here's a cat, Mike, also
food?
Eating sweet corn. And what's great is the cat, I can't eat corn. It's a trigger for me. The cat says yum. I know you're going to think I'm nuts. This cat says yum.
You know, it's moments like this that I really feel we're doing a public service.
I agree, and I also want to say to the owners of this cat, good luck with the litter box. All right, and before we leave Pet Corner, Mike,
yes,
can you name this popular movie theme? I know you saw this movie.
Yep, I got it.
Got
Jurassic
it.
Park.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Here is the theme to Jurassic Park, sung by goats.
Yeah. Is there anything better than a Tuesday rainy day in Maine and on the east coast of the United States? Hearing goats sing the theme to Jurassic Park. That's beautiful.
You know, for all you young broadcasters out there, I've said it for years. If you want to make the boss laugh, use goats.
Thank you.
He loves it. We did not talk yesterday over a big story that broke when we were on break. The return of LeBron James to Cleveland.
Yeah, the Whore of Akron, as Scott Rabb, the author, wrote that book that I love so much.
I want to get your take on this. I want to ask you about it.
You know what? It's great. You know why it's great? I don't care about LeBron James. I do, for some perverse reason, care about the city, the great city of Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I hope he brings a championship there, because that is, you want to talk about a long-suffering fan base. I read an article about it today. Where, you know, the money that this signing is going to bring to the city of Cleveland is really going to be terrific. And so, you know, hats off to LeBron for for righting a wrong and going back to Cleveland. Okay. I'm very happy about it. Hey, he got his championship.
He did.
And now he's going back to his hometown. And I think that's great. So as much as I hate to do it, I tip my hat to LeBron James.
Ah, there we go.
A few pieces of tape I think you'll enjoy as we go to our affiliate WKNR, Mike, the Mighty 850 in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yay.
When a host actually cries when he announces that LeBron is coming back to
Cleveland.
Oh,
my God, really?
Who are outside the Galleria right now and gathering. If you guys out there want to use the Galleria as a place for everybody just to come down and hang out and just gather and be together right now, I'd love that. I'd love that, Case.
You're crying, dude.
Yeah, you're
so
like, seriously.
Incredible.
No.
You're so freaking happy you're crying.
How about that?
Yeah, but people don't know.
No.
That
it means so much to that
he
city.
He owned a
it
restaurant
really
right outside the arena, so he knows what that means to him, you know?
Oh, very cool.
It is. You know what? Look, I can empathize with the people of Cleveland. You know, I can empathize with all long-suffering fans. I'm 55 years old, and I remember what it was rooting for a team for years and years and years and then finally getting the prize. You know?
Yeah, but they didn't even win anything.
Yeah, they.
Not
you know,
yet.
That's thing.
No guarantees.
It's guaranteed.
Look,
he could
you know,
get hurt. Anything's possible.
Oscar, you know this. You know why the teams like the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Lightning don't do very well? There's a ton of good, fun crap to do in Florida. What is there to do in Cleveland in the wintertime?
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
After the Rock Hall of Fame, you're done.
Exactly. You're all done. So,
I mean,
you know,
were there.
Salute to the great city of Cleveland.
There's karaoke.
Yeah, we hung out.
There's karaoke.
Oh. There's a great karaoke bar in the suburbs of Cleveland.
Was that where we went
there
to the Fox
is.
Lounge or
yes,
whatever?
Oh,
I didn't know that was Cleveland.
Well, you're behind the
that
bar
was
making
Cleveland,
drinks.
Rob.
Yeah, that was.
Did we not have one of the best nights of our lives in Cleveland?
And the worst morning of my life ever.
Oh, yeah, it was a terrible
ever,
morning.
Ever.
Absolutely.
But
yes.
Let's not dwell on that. Let's look to MSNBC and Luke Russert, who apparently thinks, or the producers at MSNBC, think that LeBron's return was so important that it was worth cutting off an interview with a representative from, I don't know what state he represents, but Steve Israel was being interviewed on MSNBC. How would you feel if you were a politician and this is how your interview was cut off?
The Republicans in Congress to be suing another branch of the government.
And Congressman Israel, we'll have more from you later in the show. I'm sorry, though. King James is making his decision known, and that bumps you out. But thank you so much for joining us.
I like the way Luke did it. I like the way Luke Russert handled it.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of King James is making his decision. Luke Russert, sports fan.
Yeah,
you know,
he
Tim
is.
Russert raised his boy a sports fan.
That's
awesome.
Funny. All right, Mike, just because I want you to stay in touch with things in Florida, do you know where Fruitland Park is?
I have no idea. God, you know, every week there's another new town in Florida that I have no idea about.
You're going to see a little bit about Fruitland Park in the news. They had two policemen resign this week because they admitted they were in the Ku Klux Klan. And,
oh, my God.
Which
Jesus.
Is really a conflict of interest. And one of the TV stations down there interviewed a Grand Dragon, and he says that is not where it stops.
What you've seen is just the tip of the iceberg right now. We have police officers, paramedics, judges, you know, they're everywhere.
Pretty good that there's Florida judges in the Ku Klux Klan. So,
Rob, when you find that on the map, make sure you let me know. There's a weekend trip for me. Jesus Christ.
And we close, Mike, another arrest recently of a Baltimore Raven football player. Another arrest.
This weekend, a Baltimore Ravens cornerback became the fifth Raven to be arrested this offseason. Yeah. Now, on the upside, the Baltimore State Prison is about to have one hell of a football team.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, new close of the Mike O'Mara Show, penned by our own Rob Spiewak. Okay. Here goes. This concludes our broadcast day. But dry your eyes. It's not goodbye, just so long. You can always write us a letter, send it to TMOS, P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. Email all technical queries to ponyboy@mikeomarashow.com. And if you'd like to be a part of the legendarily popular Thursday mailbag segment, drop a line to the jolly one, rob@mikeomarashow.com. And remember, the official TMOS e-voice line remains at 800-440-8167. Open all the time, no waiting, for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying, see you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Now that the show's over, remember to go to naturebox.com and order great-tasting, healthy snacks at 50% off. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com and use promo code TMOS. That's naturebox.com, promo code TMOS.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.